Hello, Mel. How are you?
Oh, look, pretty good.
You always say that.
Well, because I've got tight. Because I start thinking about things to complain about, and so I'll complain about my pants.
Mm.
My jeans are a bit tight today. I did buy a size up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so upsetting when you have to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fine. Like, I'm pretty slim. I'm not going to pretend that, like, I've got any issues, but it's just annoying when you put on any sort of weight.
Yes.
Because then you have to go buy a whole new fucking wardrobe of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just try and, like, I'm like, oh, I'll lose it. And it's like, no, but you don't, if you don't need to lose it, B, you're not going to do that.
No.
Because you love your roadside Maccas too much.
Oh, God, and I love Maccas.
I know. Maccas, I just downloaded the app again.
Sponsor they this don't podcast, sponsor us. But I fucking wish they would.
I know.
And just send me a Big Mac.
You don't even need to sponsor us. Just send us a Big Mac. One Big Mac each and we'll be.
Yes, please.
We'll sing your praises for 10 minutes
if
probably.
Anyone know? Actually, we have contacts at McDonald's publicity. But if anyone else
wants to mention it.
Wants to tell McDonald's to send us things, you know, on our behalf.
Yeah.
So we don't look too povo.
No.
Be great. I fucking love
it. But don't say that we said to do it.
No. Just say that we were talking about, oh my God, it's so yummy.
Yeah. Don't mention any of this comment. This, you didn't hear this bit. That didn't happen.
No.
None of that you heard.
Just the nice.
Just think you're in ASIO.
Yes. Top secret.
Top secret. You know, Pine Gap. That was alien shit. No talkie anymore about it.
No talkie.
Cool. So I do love Maccas. I just downloaded the app again because it gives you free shit.
Yes.
And like $2. McClassic. Yes. And I'm like, I'm never going to eat at McClassic, but now I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. You know what
happens? I don't even know what that is.
If you're a, I don't know if it's just if you're a Giants member or if it's just whatever, but if the my footy team wins, you get a free Big Mac the next day.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
That's rude.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like AFL for no reason just to get that.
Yeah. I'll let you know when they win again so you can get your free Big Mac.
I had a funny thing to tell you.
What is it?
So. I had lunch with my mum yesterday and we're talking about the podcast because she came to the live show that's happened. And if you didn't listen to Mystery Minutes, which is fair because if you don't like all this chattering on that we're trying to limit.
Yeah, we are limiting it.
We're limiting it and putting it in there so that all of you that hate us clearly can just listen.
But only want to hear us talking about crimes.
Yeah. Which is sometimes fair enough. But, yeah. You know, whatever. Each their own.
I don't personally get it because I think we're hilarious.
I hate you.
I hate it, but I understand you is what I'm saying.
But anyway, she was talking to me about mysteries and she was like, oh, Melissa, there's a crime that you should do. I was talking to someone at work about it. Oh, it's so bad. It's this teacher on the northern beaches who went missing. And she obviously got her wires crossed here because she meant Lynn Dawson. Chris Dawson is the teacher. Lynn was not a teacher.
Who's Lynn Dawson? Who's Chris Dawson? I've never heard of this. Who are they? This is brand new information, Mrs. Mason.
Wow. Just new. There's definitely not a very long, extensive and successful podcast.
Very famous.
From The Australian about
even,
them.
Not even at all. My parents who don't know what a podcast is know what that podcast is.
I know. She
really
just so naive. She just looked at me so excited. Like, I'm helping you.
Yeah. And you know why? I think maybe she's jealous because the live show, our dads both gave us those stories to do.
Yes.
Gave us the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I roasted Dad a fair bit.
You did.
I told him.
Oh, did you?
He's going to listen to it eventually. But I told him the jokes anyway, so he's not going to be surprised by the amount of roastage. But maybe she just wanted to be involved, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
And she thought you'd be like, this is gold. And it is gold. And that's why Hedley Thomas made a whole fucking series on it.
And has continued and is now probably going to go and speak at the trial and has led to a trial and all of those things. So thanks, Mum. Great
work. She tried. But what are you doing today, Mum?
Oh, well, to get right into it, I did a little swift twisty move on Josie because I said I was going to do a certain case and then I was homesick yesterday researching and I was Instagram messaging. What is that called? DMing. Oh my God, how old am I? I was messaging on the Instagram. I was on the line. I went onto this thing called the World Wide Web.
Oh, Josie. Did you send an electronic mail?
Oh, I don't know. But it looked like a little mail.
Oh.
It looked like a little, not a mail, a little
envelope.
One of those things, paper plane.
Paper plane. Oh, yes.
And then
yes,
I clicked on the. Why are we English?
we're drinking tea, as always.
Fizzy tea.
Fizzy pink alcoholic tea.
Pink tea that may be making me drunk.
I don't like it.
It's natural wine. That's why Josie doesn't like it.
I'll drink anything, but this honestly tastes like
I'm a big fan of natural wine. Pet Nats forever. That's what we're drinking. It's a pet nat.
But usually I drink the lemon and ginger tea that I usually drink is a natural wine from the work fridge, but there wasn't much in there.
No. Maybe you drink it.
No, considering we have like this kind of all hands prezzo, they didn't really stock up, did they?
No. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yes. So I went on the little paper plane on Instagram.
You DM'd someone.
And my friend Luke had messaged me.
Yes.
And he had messaged me a screenshot.
I know Luke too.
Yep. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Luke.
He messaged me a story that he'd already messaged me before.
And he was like, bitch.
And he was like, bitch. He said, you were going to do this in season two. Where is it? And I said, fair call. I'm going to do it right now.
Right so this fuck fucking you. Minute.
Yeah.
Luke.
Don't you fucking start with me.
You're listening to it right now.
You are.
On the line.
And I've already name dropped you about 40 times. Luke, so Luke, you're welcome. Luke. Anyway, I'm not saying his last name because I don't know if he wants
we don't
want to
dox.
Yeah, so I just left that out. There's a lot of Lukes in this world, so enjoy trying to find him. Who are we talking to? Why am I so angry at everyone?
You're so angry at this listener that's like about imaginary. To stalk Luke and like for some reason hurt him, harm him, be rude to him.
Who knows? Just look at him.
Look at him sideways.
Mainly? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
It's this pink wine. It's making us aggro. You know how rosé makes me angry?
Yes. That is kind of rosé-ish.
Fuck. I'm so angry at you for making me drink that. Remember that night we drank rosé and I was just like in a mood?
Yeah. And you just hated everyone.
It makes me angry.
People would get up and leave the table and she'd be like, I fucking hate that guy. And I'm like, you don't even know him.
Him so much.
We don't even know his name.
It was on a new level.
It was. It was a beautiful thing. Everyone should have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so blah, blah, blah. I'm doing Pheasant's Nest. It's a spot in New South Wales and it's about two boys that went missing in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
It has been in the group, I think, twice. There's actually not a lot of info on it extensively unless you pay to get into the Sydney Morning Herald archives, which I'm not going to do. Absolutely not.
Don't we have a work subscription for that?
I don't know. And I just didn't try very hard, as is my way. I just saw that you had to pay and I said, fuck that. Mm. I will instead go around that by finding other people who have talked about it.
Yeah, but if you
and sort of
listeners
mishmash together a story for you.
If you listeners want to pay, by all means, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
If you want more
I'm sorry. You should probably legally pay for the information I'm about to pilfer from the Sydney Morning Herald via other sources. I don't care.
Who cares? I don't care.
Come for me if you want.
I didn't even credit sources at the live show and you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Remember? One of them I knew.
Oh, yes. That guy that I said had a fake name. Yeah. Anyway, so he is definitely a fake name. Mm. Most of this story literally comes from Imgur.
Yes.
Which is a website that I thought was for pictures.
Same. I thought it was a meme
site. I thought it was like just people put pictures on there for no reason.
Right.
Kind of like Tumblr.
Yeah.
You just put pictures there.
Yeah, it's always like when you go on Reddit, there's always like an Imgur link.
Yeah,
like
and I don't understand it.
Of a cat doing something funny.
Yeah, I just don't really – look, I'm not very good at the Reddits and the Imgurs
on
and
the, line.
The Tumblrs of the world. So whatever, you guys probably know what it is. It's a site and this user called Unky.
That's, yeah, definitely made up.
Yeah, really recently actually did a really long post. This is 2018. So did a really, really long extensive post about this and It pretty much covered all bases, but I have looked at other people. One that definitely deserves a shout out is Esther Mackay, who was a forensic investigator on the case and wrote a book called Crime Scene True Stories from the Life of a Forensic Investigator.
Oh my God, I need to read that.
I know. And
now.
People in the group have been talking about
right,
it.
Right. Okay.
Apparently it's really good, but it's very dark. And someone had said, read it all in one sitting.
Oh, this Which is to music me, to my ears.
I mean, it's very Josie. She's not going to be scared at all. She'll be fine.
I love things that are very dark and I love to read things in one sitting.
Yeah. So don't buy it because there's your birthday present sorted.
Okay. I'll wait till September.
Yeah. You're going to wait and then you won't even remember and you'll be like, oh my God, Mel, you know me so well.
This is so thoughtful.
Oh my God,
you remembered that I mentioned it in passing.
Yeah.
Thanks,
and I'm gonna sit there with that smug smile on my face, like that kid in front of the firehouse. You know that
Yes,
meme?
Yeah, the meme.
That's me. Because I know things that you don't, which is that. Anyway, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about. The other one is Canberra Times, Saturday, 6th of Jan, 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all my sources.
Okay.
Oh, and the Sydney Morning Herald, which was in the Imgur
Right. But you didn't pay for
but
it.
But I didn't
Unky
pay for it.
Paid for
Unky
it.
Paid for it.
Unky coughed up.
Revel in his research.
How much does it cost?
I'm just literally gave him the biggest, longest shout out. Unky, please. Please love us. We love you. Come on and we'll interview you or some shit.
Yeah, 2 minutes with Unky.
I mean, maybe not. Yeah, I mean, maybe.
We don't
Are
know
you
who
funny?
Unky is. I'm scared.
I know. And what if Unky's not very funny? That would be
what
awkward.
What if Unky's a murderer?
Imagine if we invited Unky and he wasn't very funny. We were like,
we had to carry it.
We're just like, okay.
Like we had to do with Hanno and Ben.
Jesus Christ.
I'm kidding. They're obviously both very funny.
It's not funny when you say, I'm kidding. Loses the funniness.
I felt bad. I actually felt really bad.
Because you always rag on them and then you're like, sorry.
I love you guys.
Anyway, we're not inviting Unky onto the show, but maybe if you're funny and you're Unky.
If you know Unky.
It's so funny because Unky is a funny word.
It's so funny.
I'm losing it over here. I would also love Esther Mackay to be on the show. That would,
would
give you a whole hour, Esther. I'm serious. I'm going to email her.
Yeah, email her.
I am.
We should get some like actual knowledgeable people on the show.
Instead of people that don't actually read the sources and just read other things that reference the sources.
And Hanno and Ben who are like, oh, I've never fucking listened to it. I better listen to it before I do my research so I know how it's set out.
So anyone that doesn't like us crapping on is probably really pissed
now.
So
they've already gone.
Whatever. Sorry. I'm going to start from the top.
That's the best place to start, I always find.
So Matthew Kelly and James Egner were 2 14-year-old boys who were from the Pheasant's Nest area of New South Wales. So all I knew about Pheasant's Nest was it has a really good servo and everyone stops there on the way to Canberra.
Yes.
So one of my friends who's from Canberra, Mel. Hi, Mel. Also a Mel. I don't think Mel listens actually, but hi, Mel anyway.
What a bitch.
Her friend Emma listens, so now Emma's heard us call Mel a bitch. Uh-oh. So there we go. Not really. Hi, Emma. So Pheasant's Nest has this really good servo, and one time I was driving Mel to Canberra because I was going on a work thing.
Right. It's where my dad always – we stop and he gets his thermos out and we have a cup of tea.
Oh, my God, Dad.
And he makes us a peanut butter bread roll each.
Oh, my God.
When we go visit my brother.
Extremely cute and minorly weird.
My dad is adorable and very cheap, so he brings his own food everywhere.
I love it. Dracy's dad, MVP of dads.
Bless him.
So it's got that servo. Everyone stops there.
Everyone stops.
But there's also about 2 sentences about it on Wikipedia. So I can't
about the
give
servo.
You, no, just about.
Like, it's not that good a servo.
No. Actually did have a little bit about the servo.
Right.
It said basically that Pheasant's Nest was, you know, in this area of New South Wales, and it has 2 servos. It's like, no joke. Yeah. It has 2 roadside stops. And I was like, wow. Okay. But look, it's a small village of around 688 people, but it's right between Tarmoor and Bargo, and it's not very far from Picton, all of which are quite populated. So
yes,
the area is populated, but Pheasant's Nest is more of a highway town, to be honest. Yeah. Like it's not even – the town isn't up near where the highway is, but it's more known for those servos.
Yeah, for the servos and for like I need to pee on the way to Canberra.
Exactly.
How far are we from Pheasant's Nest?
Exactly. And if we want some geographical mel times, I think I could probably do this quite well because I've gone there a few times. It's on the way to Canberra, obviously, so it's sort of down but to the right a bit going inland, but like down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know because I've also been there.
Like near Wollongong, but in.
Inland.
Yep. I keep doing hand actions that no one can see. So
I love them. You look like you're directing a plane that's landing.
I know. This way. That would be the worst job for me. I would literally cause a lot of air crashes.
I'd just be scared one would clip me on the head.
I would just crouch down in a ball and panic and then just be like, I'm thinking about myself. You're all dead. I'm so sorry. Anyway, so the boys are just starting their school holidays. And they're both pretty adventurous. So on Monday the 18th of December 1989.
How old are they?
They're 14, sorry.
Right.
When they left James's place after having lunch with James's mum, he's also known as Jamie, to go swimming in the pothole swimming area, it wasn't weird that they didn't come home for hours because they're just, you know, they're teenage boys.
It's a small
fuck
town.
Off. Don't
go.
Just come back at dinner time.
Yeah.
That vibe, you
That's
know?
What you did.
Which is very normal, I
oh,
think.
Oh, yeah.
Especially country boys.
Mm-hmm. In the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Even now.
Yeah,
I just feel
totally.
Like that's pretty standard. But they didn't come back before nightfall. So obviously the parents started to worry, and then the pothole swimming area is only 2 kilometres west from James's property. So mm-hmm. it wouldn't have taken them that long to get yeah. there and back. So it's
and
not
they
like,
probably wouldn't have hung out there for like that no, length of time.
No. So police search teams and local volunteers started searching the river and surrounding bushland, but there was just no trace of the boys anywhere. So this is when things, you know, kind of people yes. started panicking. Yeah. So two witnesses later told police that they saw the boys on the freeway between Bargo and Tarmoor at 2 p.m. Mm. on that Monday. But this is quite far from the swimming hole.
Right.
So it was kind of like, why were they there?
Like they lied about going to yes. the swimming hole.
And then Philip Hendricks, who was one of their friends, was asked about them and the what the goings-on were. And he was supposed to have gone swimming with them, but he stayed home instead. And he said they'd actually planned to go further down the river than they told their parents, and that right. they may have been walking along the freeway on their way there. He said, quote, in one of the SMH articles that I didn't read, the worst thing is that I'm pretty sure that they have not run away because they would tell me for sure. Aww. It's so cute. Philip comes up again. Oh, it just like breaks my heart. So suggestions that the boys had run away from home were also rejected by their parents. They took no clothes or money with them, and there was no camping equipment that was found to be missing. So everything was as it was.
Mm.
You know, you'd think if boys were going to run away, they would at least take some of their shit, I suppose.
Yes.
By December 27th, police had denounced, I know, they'd denounced claims that the boys had been seen hundreds of kilometres away at a Port Stephens caravan park. So by now there's a lot of like
yes.
talk happening, and they're asking
it
for
hit
witnesses.
The media
and, yeah.
Port
exactly.
Stephens is north of Newey.
Yeah, that's nowhere near.
That is my neck of the
it's like
woods.
The whole opposite way for mm-hmm. anyone else that doesn't know New South Wales. Mm-hmm. So by December 28th, police had, quote, run dry on ideas, and searches began recovering old ground. At this stage, there was, quote, no suggestion that the boys ever attempted the trip to the swimming hole. So by now,
right.
people are like, okay, well, something else was going on.
But even the further point that Philip suggested they might have been.
Yeah, well, there going? Was just no attempt to go to that swimming hole, right. the potholes.
Okay.
Basically. So they weren't going swimming.
Right. They were being dodgy.
Yeah. So on the 3rd of January, a government roads inspector noticed an odour when walking in a large structural access ramp under the road surface of the Pheasant's Nest Bridge, which carries the Hume Highway across the Nepean River. So it's like a really massive bridge. Mm-hmm. Anyone that drives that road would know what I'm yep. talking about. And the bridge itself has all these hollow bits
yep.
for like, yep. well, obviously for road people and service people. I don't fucking know what they do with bridges, but the shit that you do with bridges. So this guy is walking in that access ramp and he can smell something's not right.
Oh, no.
So obviously the investigators come in, and that it revealed the two bodies of Matthew Kelly and James Egnar at the bottom of the southeasternmost pylon. Because the pylons are hollow. So they
yes.
they were at the bottom of the pylon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So reporting at the time suggested that the boys had entered the walkway, which runs the full length of the bridge, through a vandalized entrance at the end of an earth ramp. So like a, you know, those stony ramp things that are like made of earth. So they reckon they went in there and then they fell into the access point of one of the four hollow support pylons, which is like, I think 33 metres.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So on the 4th of January, a senior homicide detective speculated that the boys may have lost their balance while trying to, quote, lift the square manhole cover and were dragged into it as the cover fell down the shaft. But this is like kind of weird because there's no real mention of the shaft, of the cover being found. So right. I don't know. That was probably yeah. like an early thought before they'd actually investigated things. But playing inside the bridge wasn't actually that weird. Philip Hendricks, who was their mate from before, he said he knew of other boys exploring the bridges in the area. And he said everyone knows about it. It's kind of just that thing, you know, when you're a teenager and you just go and – I mean, I never did this. I was a very angelic teenager. But mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure many people listening did this shit. We're like, well, you know when we're talking about the Poinciana lady?
Yes.
And teenagers just go up there and loiter.
Especially bored teenagers in a tiny town like
600
people.
And I would totally
people.
Go inside a bridge. Like I probably wouldn't.
No, I was angelic
I could
as well.
See why you would.
I'd read a book.
But, yeah.
I totally get because growing up in Newcastle, it wasn't a lot to do either. And when you're not 18.
Yeah.
But you're not a kid, so your parents don't. Your parents are a bit like, make your own fun.
Yeah.
And when you're a kid, parents have to entertain you.
Yeah.
But when it's make your own fun, you literally make it out of anything.
Yeah.
A bridge, a tree, loitering in a car park.
And just doing
going
things
to King
you're
Street
not meant
Macca's
to.
In Newcastle yeah. and just okay. fucking sitting in the car park.
Why?
Just doing laps. Like, it's just, there's nothing to do.
See, the only thing we had was so near where I lived as a kid in Vaucluse, there was a like an old World War II battle.
Oh, yes, area. I've seen it. I've been
there.
And it's
like built into the grass. Yeah. It's real secret. But then like teenagers or someone had wedged the door open, like broken the locks and you could go in.
Yeah.
And it was full of graffiti and stuff. Mm. Very similar to what I imagine this was like. And you know, kids used to go and hang out in there and smoke and shit. Yeah. And like we never did because we were like angelic children, but people definitely did.
Yes. Yeah.
But also evidence suggested that the bridge walkway had been entered illegally in the past. And like I said, the cover to the top of the shaft was missing.
Mm.
So it wasn't the first time people had gone in, and the cover missing means that the shaft may have just been open.
Yeah, like it might have been missing
for months. Which would lean more into like an accident, basically. Mm. Entry to the pylon shaft could only be made at that single point, that entranceway that they went in.
Yeah.
And you couldn't exit it any other way. So you could go down and that was that. So you couldn't, they couldn't have been brought in from the bottom or come in at the bottom. So nothing could have happened to them post falling down.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Police stated on January the 5th, we don't know whether it had had one, the cover, in the first place or not. They couldn't confirm whether the other three pylon entrances had covers either, which is very strange.
For
I feel like
sake,
you can just figure it out.
And shouldn't like the road workers be checking these things
like
regularly? Wouldn't you be checking bridges and doing maintenance?
I mean, yes, I think, but if only the road people are meant to go in there. It is kind of strange, though, I suppose.
It's so dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Like public safety. OH&S, guys.
I don't know why I'm backing the road people, but
I'm not. I'm like anti-road people today, I've decided.
So they started, the police started treating the case as suspicious, but when it got through coroner's inquiry, found that it was a misadventure issue.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few theories around this, though.
Mm.
The first is, was it murder?
Well, yeah, because you can't. You don't know if someone's fallen.
Sorry
for jumping ahead.
No. Well, that's it. Did they get pushed or did they trip is essentially what it comes down to. So, like I said, by January the 5th, police were treating it as suspicious. By January the 14th, there were reports of conflicting opinions among the investigation team with some officers, quote, not ruling out murder. But why would you murder two 14-year-old boys? So there were local rumours that they had been the victims of illegal marijuana growers in the area, the marijuanas.
Oh, a great place to grow weed because there's no one around.
Exactly. But also just didn't realise how scary the marijuana, I'm just saying it's stupid because I like to, business was. Like Don McKay
yes.
was also.
I know. I think I said that in that episode. You picture marijuana as being like, hey, man.
Yes.
Have you watched that show?
Weeds?
Murder Mountain?
No.
On Netflix?
No, is it good?
I haven't watched it, but that's what it's about. It's about people that go and work for marijuana, I think. I actually don't know. I think it's about people that go and work for those marijuana farms.
Yeah.
And like someone gets killed and it's all like the crime happens because like there are kingpins in marijuana. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I guess it's an illegal drug, but I just think, like you said, I just always assume the dangerous ones to work with would be like meth or heroin or like pills
cocaine.
Or cocaine,
yeah.
Not marijuana.
Like you're at Narcos. You know? What was his name?
That guy. Escobar? Fuck.
Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
Like you don't, you know, with weed, you're just like, whatever. But I guess in Pineapple Express, it had that vibe of like, there was a bad guy. And
well, I suppose down low in the lower scheme of things, like, you know, on a, like, supplier, direct drug dealer to person, it's probably not that dangerous. But then the higher up you go, the bigger
it's like big
dealing.
Business. Fuck.
Well, and also remember with that, they had like an illegal fruit deal that was like dangerous.
And you honestly think fruit is so innocuous and then like the mafia were controlling the fruit trade.
Yeah. What
Crazy.
We've learned is that the mafia can make anything scary.
They'll make apples terrifying.
They will. So that was this rumor. And then one resident summed up the suspicions with this quote, something really strange has been going on. I think they came across something weird in the tunnel.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they discovered nearby marijuana plantations while they were searching for Jamie and Matthew.
Right.
Yeah. So it fueled the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
But they didn't actually find a connection there.
Okay. They just thought maybe they'd come upon it.
Yeah, it was sort of coincidental that they found the marijuana plantation
nearby.
There was
no evidence to link it.
Yeah, exactly. The rumours go that the boys disrupted growers drying marijuana inside the bridge.
Oh.
So, quote, if two men grabbed them and dropped them down the hole, you would never know. There would be no evidence. Which they wouldn't.
How could you do that? You know, that reminds me
of
Jamie pushing Bran off the window.
Yes.
How could you do that?
And especially teenage boys, like so innocent. Like anyone innocent, obviously. How could you do it?
It reminds me of that scene in Breaking Bad where they're plotting that I don't want to spoil anything. If you haven't watched Breaking Bad, press stop right now. Sorry, Mel. It's a really interesting episode. But Breaking Bad's one of the greatest TV shows of all time. And there's like this bit, I don't want to spoil it, but a young kid comes along, remember, on his bike.
But, yep, tell me.
And he sees what they're doing and they shoot him.
Yeah. That's like the Americans is very like that too. There's a lot of dying of like really innocent like family men and kids and just makes you really sad for all these victims that just happened across something. Yeah,
this wrong place, wrong
like
time.
Like not even involved in bad shit. So apparently there was a quantity of packaged marijuana that was also discovered during the search, claimed by some to be waiting for interstate delivery. Now, this was in the Imgur Unki's post.
Unki, yep.
I'm assuming he got his facts from Sydney Morning Herald. And spoiler alert, but our mate, what's her name, Esther Mackay, actually contacted him to clarify some mix-ups, and that wasn't one thing that she clarified. So whether
she contacted Unki?
Yeah. Oh. She got in touch with Unki.
Oh, wow.
And was like, this fact is a bit wrong, which I talk about. I'll talk about it later properly, but there were a few little discrepancies between the reports and what she found as an investigator. But she didn't change anything about that as far as I know. So I don't know. That seems like a big thing.
Yeah.
If they found a package of marijuana in there. But then it's still, I guess, is coincidental because that doesn't mean that anyone was in there at the time.
Someone could have just tossed that.
Yeah. So the district deputy mayor, whatever the fuck that role is, made a written request to the attorney general. Also don't know what that role is. Don't know what any of these titles mean.
The attorney general's important.
Well,
though.
What are you? Just a big lawyer? Like a big...
Isn't that like the...
big lawyer?
The country's big lawyer.
Oh, like the country lawyer.
Australia's big
Australia's
lawyer.
Australia's lawyer.
The nation's big lawyer.
So like the lawyer for Australia.
Yep.
What does he do?
He just...
Or she.
Definitely, I think, has been a woman in
you
the
are
past.
Like, you were like floundering for what he does.
She,
you said
he,
that all so knowledgeably and now you're like...
Attorney General, literally, how can we have got so far in life?
I mean, it just, I know it's an important role and it's to do with wearing a wig in a law court, but what they actually do, I have no idea.
Well,
do we need to know? I don't think that I
need to know.
I don't. Need to
oh
know.
Yeah, they're just like the chief law officer for Australia. Like they are the lawyer for Australia.
Oh my god, they really are the lawyer for Australia.
Look at him. Here's the guy. This is the current
Does
one.
Does he have a big wig on? Of
no,
white
it's
curls?
Like a glamour headshot.
Oh my god, he's like a bit daddy.
He's like slightly daddy.
He's very slightly daddy.
He's
it's
got
the
like
eyes.
Sensible gingery hair.
Yeah,
like those nice eyebrows.
It's a good headshot. It's a strong headshot.
His name's Christian Porter.
Christian Porter, you're a little bit daddy. Also, don't really understand your job.
For
That's
the singer,
okay.
See the Voice, US season 4.
Well, there you go.
So he's the second most famous Christian Porter
in
the world.
anyway, so this district deputy mayor makes this written request to the attorney general seeking a judicial inquiry into the deaths because, quote, I smell a rat in the whole issue. I really believe they may have stumbled across some drug-related activity in the tunnel. And I kind of love that he did that because it, like... Look, we're going to get to theories later, but it could have just been an accident, right? But I think you owe it to the families of these two boys to thoroughly look at shit. And if there's some weird connections going on, look into it.
And not just to write it off as they both fell.
Yeah, like, okay, so they're consistent with a fall, but that doesn't mean – anyway, I don't want to go down that road because we're going to go down that later.
We will.
But
it was
district
good,
deputy
it
mayor.
It was good of him to want to explore all the avenues.
Exactly.
Good on you. Deputy District Mayor.
So there were also connections to a strange case from less than 2 years prior.
Oh my God.
So two other boys, Aaron Murphy and Glenn Vantaggiato, 17 and 19 years old, were lying on the old Hume Highway at nearby Tarmoor when a newspaper truck ran over them a couple of years before, like I said, which I've repeated myself. The official record says they were killed by the truck, but some residents believe that the boys, neither of which were drunk, were already dead when the truck hit them, which is very like Unravel Season 1. Have you listened to it? Okay, so that's about this Indigenous boy in just outside of Tamworth.
Oh, yes.
Who gets hit by a truck and the whole thing is, was he dead before the truck hit him?
And it was like a cover-up.
Yes. Yep. And I think... Look, again, could go both ways because kids do dumb shit sometimes, like lying on the highway at probably in the middle of the night. and then get hit by trucks, but then also if you're that's a weird thing to be doing.
Yes, and if you're a local marijuana dealer and two boys had fucking stumbled upon you and you wanted to kill them to cover up, then you might stage it.
Yes.
It seems like it was staged.
And the thing is, yeah, that highway is quite busy at all hours. So it seems like a weird thing to do. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, that's just another thing. I mean, this was the late 80s. Maybe it wasn't as busy, but who knows? Police rejected these theories, by the way. So autopsy results, as I said, didn't indicate foul play. So police basically were like, nah, the marijuana thing isn't a thing. I just don't agree with that 100%. But
okay,
there's more theories.
I don't want to jump ahead.
So another theory is that there was a third person that was with them on the day they disappeared. So this is all based around a few things. So firstly, Philip Hendricks, our mate, this is in 2014. So he's an older man now. Well, not old, but he would have been like...
still talking about it.
What would he have been? 40s? Probably in his 40s. No, maybe 50s.
How old are we?
We're in our 30s and we were born around this time. Yeah. So probably 40s. So, 40s.
Yeah.
Late, maybe edging to 50, probably having his 50th sometime around now.
Yeah.
Congratulations, birthday, Philip Hendricks. Anyway, he said, quote, they never intended to go to the potholes. They were meeting me and some mates at Malden Weir, but they never got there. So many things just don't add up and don't make sense about the boys ending up at the bottom of that pylon. I've read the book by the forensic investigator, Esther Mackay's book, and I was the first witness called to give evidence at the coroner's inquest at the old Campbelltown courthouse, and I still can't believe it was misadventure, because although Jamie and Matt were young, they weren't dumb. Someone out there knows what really happened to them that day but won't tell. It always comes back to this.
Someone knows something. But also Phil lied because he said that he was staying home.
But he was probably protecting them.
Yeah.
He was probably just like, oh, we were just like being little shady shits. And,
you
know, and he was a kid. Like he's what, fucking 14? Yeah. Like, I get it. Anyway, when asked about the Egner and Kelly investigation, Sergeant Jim Reynolds of the local Picton Police said, I just can't understand how they fell down together. I can't say it's not foul play. On the surface, there's a lot of inconsistencies in this case. And he mentioned a few things about the situation that they were in that pylon. So the walkway was well lit with fluorescent lights, which were turned on at the time. And also there were pieces of burnt paper presumably used as torches that were found leading to the light's master switch at the opposite end of the 300-meter walkway. So I don't know, really understand the logistics of that, but I assume what it means is that the lights were on when they found the bodies.
Yeah.
But also, even if that was like, oh, but someone turned them on at another time later, the torches that were there, I don't know, and that was all consistent. So it's assumed that the lights were on when they went in there and that they knew how to turn them on.
Yeah.
Which is a thing, because even if there wasn't a cover on this manhole, you'd think they would see it. There's also obviously the mystery of this missing manhole. So apparently it was 20 centimetres in diameter and it was thick steel and concrete.
20 centimetres?
Yeah. Like 20 centimetres, like... quite a what?
That's not very big.
I didn't really think about that, but you're right.
Yeah,
it's like not very big at all. It's like a down ruler. There.
Yeah, a ruler is 30.
How does that work?
No.
Oh my god! Why am I having one of these days again? Hang on. No, it doesn't really show the manhole. There's like a diagram, but it doesn't show the manhole. Well. I don't know, Josie. That's what I'm getting told. So that's
sorry
what we've
to fact
got.
Check.
Well, no, it does actually draw some interesting conversation about how would two people fall down there. I mean,
I was picturing that it was very wide.
Oh no, it's 20 centimeters thick.
Oh
my god. That wouldn't make any sense anyway, because why would it be 20 centimetres? It wouldn't be a diameter. It would be 20 centimetres thick because, like, a pylon for a bridge is obviously big.
Yes. That's so, what I was thinking.
Like, what are you, a little spindly pile? Anyway, oh, my God. I'm so – this is turning into the Patinella. I'm really sorry. It was 20 centimetres thick steel and concrete.
Fuck.
So that's very heavy. That makes a lot more sense with everything else. Like, okay. I'm glad we got to the end of that. So this was the thing. The roads inspector said that the hatch probably would require four men to lift it.
Right.
So they just were like, how would they have gotten this off?
Yeah. And then fallen at the same time. Seems very unlikely.
And he, the guy that was the first to be there, the road inspector that found the bodies, he said he believed it could not have been an accident. He said, quote, "I believe that a third person may have been with them. I just find it all a bit suspicious. I think the manhole had been left off for at least a year. But as for the concrete hatch, no one knows where that is." So now there's another hatch
now
involved.
There's two parts to this which lid.
Is just, yeah. So I don't know. That's a bit weird.
Mm.
But then to me, that feels like if he reckons it's been off for a year, then to me, I assume the concrete hatch is also gone. Do you know what I mean? Like that it was probably was just open.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it was an accident. Another weird thing was that Jamie's shirt was allegedly found neatly folded next to the pylon manhole entrance. What? But Esther Mackay, the forensic investigator, this is one of those facts that she corrected.
Oh, right.
She said that that was a misconception in the media and that the shirt was just simply on the ground.
Right, not neatly folded.
So still weird, but not as weird, you know? There were marks – this is horrible. There were marks resembling fingernail scratches found on at the top of the pylon, and curiously a 3-meter long piece of plastic conduit was found lying on top of the bodies, which would have been – well, this was the original thing, was that they'd said it would have been folded to fit down the shaft, but Esther Mackay reckons it wasn't that long. So that's kind of a bit of a weird
– oh, right.
But the point being
– like a piece of wire?
It seemed like a bit of a not a scramble, what's the word? Like a – panic had happened because there's things, you know, so and there was also a scuff mark on the inside of the pylon made by a shoe. So,
maybe someone was alive
when they went down, is what the resulting theory is.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But that doesn't lean either way because if you'd fallen, you were going to scratch.
Yeah, you would.
And freak out as well. One thing Esther did tell our mate, Unky, was it would have been helpful if we had DNA testing back then, as there were a number of cigarette butts found inside the pylon, but sadly we didn't have that technology years ago. So they've gone. So they'll never know. But, I mean, again, in that case.
If it had been open for a year, then
that's the thing.
Other local delinquents might have been.
And you would smoke
punching
and
diaries.
Punch the diary and then chuck it down the shaft. Like that is a weird thing that people would do.
I would have absolutely done that if I was punching a diary near it. It's just this weird thing where your mind wants to throw things down there.
Yes.
Because it's open.
Well, and that comes into play again later, sort of. But anyway, the last theory, which is, you know, kind of a bit stupid, but it is interesting, is it cursed? So since the construction of the bridge in 1980, it's actually been the location of heaps of weird deaths.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like weird, just a weird set of deaths. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of an urban legend in that area as well. So that's not like something that only I've made up. It's actually a thing that people talk about. So there's obviously them.
Yep.
Anyway, this Reddit post by Matt Berger, he actually, I've got to give him credit because he wrapped it up really nicely. He basically has listed all the different weird events. Some of them I took out because they were car accidents, and knowing that stretch of highway, there's a lot of car accidents in general.
Yeah.
So I just don't think they really
have
count.
Nothing to do with the bridge.
So 2001, a man plunged more than 20 meters to his death from the bridge following a high-speed police chase. He overtook a marked police car speeding, and after a short pursuit, he stopped his car and jumped off the bridge.
Oh.
Yeah, which is sort of weird, but, you know, not weird in and of itself because people do kill themselves, sadly, but weird when you put it all together, which it'll keep going. In 2005, the driver of a Land Rover contacted police to say he thought he had hit a woman standing naked in the middle of the highway during heavy rain.
Not a phantom
naked women. He went back to what he thought was the impact site and he saw a man and a woman in a white car driving southbound. Police contacted hospitals throughout Sydney and the surrounding area, but there were no admissions matching the scenario.
Oh, my God, that's so creepy.
I know. At 3 a.m., Victorian police stopped a red Suzuki sedan in Glen Rowan. Police noticed a woman in the front seat who appeared to be injured, and she was from Cabramatta, and she was taken to Shepparton Hospital, where she underwent surgery for a number of injuries. So was she the woman, and if so, how did she get 533 kilometres away?
Oh, my God.
It was weird. And there wasn't really anything beyond that about it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like this weird event because it was kind of like he reckoned he hit a person. They couldn't find the person. Then they find this woman that maybe was the person, but then she's not saying she's the person. It was very weird.
That is so creepy.
I know.
I hate that.
I know. In 2009, human remains were found strewn around the Southern Highlands and a dog found some under the bridge. And it seemed that they'd been thrown off the bridge. That was actually solved, though. That was this a Sydney woman, Ling Mao, and her husband, Huan Sun, was later found guilty of her murder. But still weird.
It's still weird that happened around there.
And then in 2015, 18-year-old resident of Bargo, Josip Bazanovic's body was found by police near the bottom of the bridge at about 10 a.m. on March the 4th. And his car was on the bridge and he'd left work the night before at 6:30 p.m. and been to Picton McDonald's, but that was the last they'd heard from him.
Mm.
So just a lot of weird things that, you know.
Strange occurrences around the area.
Yeah. But mainly it is thought to be misadventure. So that's the main theory on it.
That's what they're going with.
Yeah, and Esther Mackay's take on it is very convincing. So I'm going to read it. It's a little long, but not crazy long.
But we love Esther.
We love Esther Mackay. It was my view that the boys – oh, this is all from her book, by the way. It was my view that the boys had voluntarily climbed into the bridge. In darkness, they had lit a newspaper and used it to make a paper torch as they walked through the tunnel to the master switch where they operated the internal lights. They then walked back along the tunnel, stopping at the southeastern pylon where they sat around the open manhole and smoked cigarettes. The boys then pulled pieces of conduit from the nearby electrical channel and played with them, possibly using them as swords, poking them at each other until one of the boys accidentally overbalanced and fell into the hole, grabbing the second boy by the waist of his shorts and causing a rip down the front. That must have been something on the bodies that no one else mentioned. The second boy was pulled down by the weight of the first and tried to grab the sides of the manhole, hence the five-fingered death grip and black scuff marks from the soles of his running shoes. I believe that both boys fell to their deaths with the pieces of conduit, one of them hitting the exposed steel rods on the way down. They were both killed on impact, which is just so sad. And, I mean, this is – you know, we can probably talk theories around here now, but that – all makes sense to me. Like yeah, that whole story makes sense to me. And
it's not like she's reaching.
No. And she said in her book, it was either in her book or to our mate, Unky, she said that she always goes by the coroner's report and the police findings. And she's like, that's it. And she's kind of like, and I get that in a way. Like I think, you know, I do get that in a way, but then I also feel that finding the illegal weed plantation nearby, and if there really was a package of weed in there, and that missing those two other missing boys, that all to me is really fishy. So, like, I can see how teenage boys playing around can have a tragic accident and fall to their deaths, and you know that's horrible, and totally realistic. But then all those things, I can also see how this could be fishy.
Yeah, I think if that weed plantation wasn't there, we'd just be like, oh, they fell. It's kind of similar to the last case I did with the man down the mine shaft. I didn't even think about
that, but it's true because that was 2 weeks ago now, so yeah, it's like a totally.
And it's that whole thing of like there's other elements that make it strange in and of itself. If you ignored everything around it, you'd just be like, oh, they fell, they died.
Yeah.
But there's just those other elements like the weed plantation and knowing from doing Don Mackay's case and knowing that it's not just someone growing weed in the backyard for their own use. Like it's big business and two kids hanging around, you know, they might get rid of them.
Yeah.
And then two other kids who were hanging around. Was that beforehand?
That was – so the 17 and 19-year-olds, that was 2 years before.
Right. So that to me is – I mean, it could be a case of just the boys around here are fucking bored and they do stupid things like lying on the road. As teenagers do. Like lying on the road or sitting on a manhole and then doing some rough housing and falling. But it just – that seems a bit odd that there were two, but the police are like they're not connected.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like that whole thing of the most obvious thing is probably the answer. Probably is here, but it's just those other elements that just like are a bit of a red flag. It's just a bit of an alarm bell.
Yeah, and I also feel like Philip, their friend, saying they weren't idiots.
Yeah, so why would telling they be
he's
like,
a good character witness for them, like he's their friend. So I think what he probably was saying in that statement, I'm assuming, is like they're not the kind of boys that would go and do dangerous shit just for the fun of it. Like they're not like they're not going to lie on the middle of the road like the other kids did just to see what will happen or like play around an open hole. Yeah,
large.
But at the same time, I think that smart people can end up in horrible accidents that don't mean they're less smart than they are, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, if you're playing and you just get caught up in some game that you're doing, or like pushing and shoving and just being playing silly buggers, and then
you never think a
horrible trip happens. Yeah. You know?
You never think anything bad's going to happen to you either. No. Especially when you're a teenager, you think you're invincible.
Oh my God. Yes, absolutely.
So maybe they weren't even paying attention. But yeah. That image of him grabbing his shorts.
I know. And the scrambling, like, that really upset me, like the scuff marks and the finger marks, I think.
Trying to just save horrible. Himself.
And just like, I think, like, yeah, and I think just because it could really have happened to me or you, like, I did do dumb shit as a teenager. I didn't really go into, like, scary abandoned bridge things because I was too scared, frankly. Mm. But I definitely did dumb shit. Like, I don't know, like, oh, the dumbest one. Oh, my God, this is such a stupid story. But I was, like, in the water at Byron. It was schoolies.
Mm.
And me and my friends were like, oh, let's, like, swap bikini tops under the water. It'll be so funny. Just dumb. Like, so fucking stupid. Just why are you doing that? Just because you're all hyper.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to get my bikini top back on and I got stuck in a rip.
Oh, my
God. And so I'm like, concerned obviously mainly about flashing, but then also I'm stuck in a rip, and I got I went quite far out, like I if I hadn't done nippers as a kid and known to swim across and also not been quite a strong swimmer, I probably would have been in a lot of trouble. And it was a beach that had no lifeguards. It was like one of those little Byron ones that's like got no one on it, so like it really could have gone badly. It didn't, and like the chances of it going badly were slim, but it could have gone badly.
Yeah. There's and a lot of like close, there's a lot of things you look back on. I mean, I don't want to share all of mine on the podcast where you go, fuck, that could have ended badly.
Yes.
But at the time I was like, huh.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure a lot of kids probably hung around there and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So maybe they were just unlucky.
And either way, whether it was the marijuana dealers or not, they're unlucky because they've either stumbled into the wrong place at the wrong time or they've had a tragic accident. And either way, it's shit because they were so young. And the photos from like the funeral and stuff are really sad. And I actually have a few little like sad but nice quotes from the end. So there's a plaque on the structure that remembers them, which I think is nice. And there's also CCTV watching the entrance to the pylons now. So it's not going to happen again.
That's good.
Hopefully.
That's good.
And Philip, in that interview, he has had this like quite a nice little statement about it. He said, it took a long time to convince myself that it wasn't my fault they died that day. Because if I hadn't seen Jamie that morning and arranged to meet up, it wouldn't have happened. But we were just kids in school holidays looking for something to do to beat the heat and kill the boredom. I still visit their graves regularly and wonder what would have been. My oldest son is the same age as they were then, and it's very saddening to think of what the boys never had the chance to do or become. I'll never forget Maddie Kelly and Jamie Egner. They were my friends. And Esther Mackay also said, I still go to the memorial on the anniversary, and the incident ended my police career as the trauma took its toll. However, I am now working with the New South Wales Police Legacy Coordinating Services for our retired police. So that is the way I've honoured the boys and made sense of such a tragic event. Which is really nice, I think. Like,
yeah.
I suppose it's bittersweet because it's sort of, you know, nice that they still remember them and think of them.
She would have worked on so many cases, but it's clearly just...
Yeah, it must have been quite horrific, I think, obviously, because they'd fallen down the pylon and they were young. So it probably was, you know...
Yeah, because I was thinking about the shirt off and Philip mentioned, like, how hot it was, and I was thinking he probably just took his top off because they were in a bridge and it was hot.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there wasn't anything nefarious going on.
Yeah.
It's just, it's sad either way you look at it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That if someone did push them. And that's the thing, like, it's weird to me that the police were like, no evidence of foul play, because how can you ever rule it out?
And you can't. It's like with
the
that.
One I did. Like, how can you tell if he's been pushed or he went down there himself? Same with these guys, because you can't, unless there's like a handprint on their back.
Yeah.
But like, you don't have handprint, you know, unless you've been playing with soot or like you've got paint on your hands. It can be hard to tell if someone's been pushed. Sometimes they can like put scuff marks on the ground, like there can be an indication of a struggle on the ground, but it would be hard on concrete.
Well, and again, like there's the scuff mark in the pylon and the fingers on. But that could be indicative of either,
yeah,
because like, and that's the thing, is you can you can say, oh, well, their injuries are consistent with falling down there, but if they were pushed, the injuries would be consistent.
Yeah, it'd be
like
the
you
same.
Said, there's no handprint on the back, and it's exactly like Ray. You know, again, it was, you know, maybe nothing
untoward
happened, but maybe it did, and we don't know. And I don't know with police, because I suppose there has to come a line where they have to go, okay, we cannot go down this deep rabbit hole of investigation. And especially what would they have to go on?
Yeah, there's nothing.
There's a weed plantation that they don't know who is managing it.
Yeah.
So they don't have any – I assume they don't have any leads there.
Mm.
And then they don't have any evidence to follow, like any – you know, they've obviously looked into the conduit and there's no lid.
Mm.
There's no fingerprints, I'm assuming, of
there's
anyone
no
else.
Identifying, that they can find. You know, if a third person was there, they didn't leave their wallet behind.
Didn't have the DNA to check
no
the cigarettes.
DNA.
So it's kind of a little bit like maybe they – I don't know. Like I can't decide whether it's a good thing to assume that what is in front of you is what happened and that's that, or whether
like if
you should investigate it more.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be honest, I don't think I would know unless I was a policeman.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they kind of – you know, the deputy district man was kind of urging them to look into it further.
Yeah.
So maybe they did and it just was a dead end, for want of a better word. Mm. But yeah, it's so sad.
Yeah, it's a sad one for me. I don't usually do the sad ones, but
I know. But it was really interesting.
Yeah, I was fascinated, and I'll put some pictures up. There's pictures of the boys. There's pictures of the bridge and the structure of the bridge as well, which kind of helped me.
Yes,
understand.
I feel
the
like
logistics
that'll help me
it.
Too. I think I was kind of there, but I think the pictures will help me.
Yeah,
to like picture it a little bit better, envision it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Bye.
Bye.